ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 1। श्री राजोवाच समप्रिया सुरद् ब्रह्मन् भूतानां भगवान् स्वयं इन्द्रियस्तर्थे कथं दैत्यान् अविधेद् विषमो यथा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Brahmana, the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, being everyone's well-wisher, is equal and extremely dear to everyone. How then did he become partial like a common man for the sake of Indra and thus kill Indra's enemies? How can a person equal to everyone be partial to some and inimical towards others?" In the Bhagavad Gita 9.29, the Lord says, "Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshostina priyaha." I am equal to everyone. No one is dear to me, nor is anyone my enemy. In the previous canto, however, it has been observed that the Lord sided with Indra by killing the demons on his account. Hata putra ditihi shakraha parshni grahanena vishnuna. Therefore, the Lord was clearly partial to Indra, although he is the super soul in everyone's heart. The soul is extremely dear to everyone, and similarly the super soul is also dear to everyone. Thus, there cannot be any faulty action on the part of the super soul. The Lord is always kind to all living entities, irrespective of form and situation. Yet, he took the side of Indra just like an ordinary friend. This was the subject of Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. As a devotee of Lord Krishna, he knew very well that Krishna cannot be partial to anyone. But when he saw that Krishna acted as the enemy of the demons, he was somewhat doubtful. Therefore, he posed this question to Sukhdev Goswami for a clear answer. A devotee cannot accept that Lord Vishnu has material qualifications. Maharaj Parikshit knew perfectly well that Lord Vishnu, being transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. But to confirm his conviction, he wanted to hear from the authority Sukhdev Goswami. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, "Samasya katham vaishmyam." Since the Lord is equally disposed towards everyone, how can he be partial? "Priyasya katham asureshu priti abhavah." The Lord, being the super soul, is extremely dear to everyone. Why then should the Lord display unsympathetic behavior towards the asuras? How is this impartial? "Surdascha katham tvesh teshva asudharnam." Since the Lord says that he is Surdam sarva bhutanam, the well-wisher of all living entities, how could he act with partiality by killing demons? These questions arose in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, and therefore he inquired from Sukhdev Goswami. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessing of all the senior devotees. So in this seventh canto, which we are beginning from today, The purport speaks about how people feel that Lord Krishna is partial, and this doubt is being exhibited by Parikshit Maharaj, that why Lord Krishna is partial with the demons. Throughout the Mahabharata war, Duryodhan and others were complaining that Krishna is partial towards us. He is not giving what we want. And Duryodhan tried so many tricks to destroy the Pandavas, but Krishna always protected them. So we know one time Duryodhan, this is the end of Mahabharata, and he has lost so many of his important commanders, and now his mother Gandhari, she says that, let me save my child by making him very strong, by putting my glands, the power of her chastity, which will come out through her glands. Her eyes were tied when she got married to Dhritarashtra. So she calls Duryodhan to come without any clothes, and in the middle of night, Duryodhan is planning to go. As Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna is the Paramatma in the heart and very dear to everyone. That is one advantage of being Paramatma. You always have the upper hand. You know beforehand what is going to happen. So Arjuna was very much relaxed. He was not worried because Krishna is there and he is sleeping. But Krishna is in anxiety. How to save Arjuna every time? Sometimes Bhishma takes a vow and Arjuna is sleeping. And Krishna says, you know Bhishma, he has taken a vow to kill all the five brothers, all of you. And Arjuna says that you have promised that my devotee will never perish. So you spoke that on the battlefield. Now battle has started. So I am going to sleep. Now you take care. And Bhishma, Duryodhan, he thinks that, okay, now I have these five arrows, I'll keep it and nobody will know. But once again, because Krishna has the upper hand, Paramatma, they try to gamble with Krishna, but he's the great gambler. And he knows all the plans. So here also, as Duryodhan is coming, in the middle of the night, walking naked, with no clothes, somehow Krishna just appears. And of course, he is so frightened. Krishna asks him, what are you doing? Like this? What is this? You are a Kshatriya. And he is so frightened that he doesn't ask Krishna, what are you doing here? In the middle of the night. I am going towards my mother's camp. He says, I am going to meet my mother. He said, mother, are you a baby? Yeah. At least wear some clothes. So he starts taking advice from Krishna. What should I do? Tell me some. He said, it's Vedic. Put some leaves on your private parts and go. And then he proceeds. And then of course, mother glances. And then she's surprised to see that he has covered his private parts. And she asked him that, how did you do my avagya? You did not listen to my instruction. He said, Krishna came. What can I do? So, seems that he is very partial. Always complaining. Demons, they keep complaining that Krishna is partial. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj one time went on complaining to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, there is prejudice in ISKCON. There is some partiality black, white. Rupa said, whoever is doing it, they are nonsense. And if you think that you are black, then you are also a nonsense. Because you're not black, you're not white. You're simply a spirit soul. So there's no question of prejudice. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes something about prejudice. He says that when there is prejudice, it gives rise to partiality, which later on gives rise to disrespect and disrespect to the truth and hatred. And all these things together bring a lot of frustration to an individual. So this type of prejudice and partiality which is spoken of over here is on the bodily level. And when we see Lord Krishna's pastime, it is not on the material platform. It is on the spiritual platform. So, we see partiality everywhere. In this material world, people work in offices. There are scientific institutions where we would go for preaching. Big, big institutions. And they realize that after studying for such a long time, writing so many theses, papers, all credit goes to someone else. And then the student commits a suicide. And it's not very new. There's a place called as... it has a different name where all these scientists stay in Mumbai, and they call it as Atmatya Nagar because many people commit suicides over there. There are some famous points which are called as suicide points because they feel there has been some partiality done to them. So, Krishna is not partial in that way. I read a very nice offering by Vyas Puja offering by some devotees to Srila Prabhupada. There is a place called as Goa. Sure, everybody knows. And it was ruled by the Portuguese. And the devotees in Portugal, they wrote an offering recent some years back, offering to Srila Prabhupada. And in the offering they wrote that, dear Srila Prabhupada, Vasco da Gama is the one who discovered Goa in 1498, many, many years back. And that was the first Western country to come to Goa. And so these devotees are writing to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, you are partial to us. And what is that partiality? He's saying that with three ships, Vasco da Gama came over here in 1498. And then Goa was ruled for 450 years. And recently, 1960-61, they left from here. So the Portuguese are the first people to come to India. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya. His mercy is for the most fallen. We are very fallen. But somehow, we should be the rightful owners of that mercy since we came first to India. But you didn't come to us. You first went to America. Then you went to Europe and so many other places. So you are partial. We are the rightful owners. Because we are the first who came, the Portuguese. And they are complaining in their Vyas Puja offering. Very sweet that how they are expressing. So Lord Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, one Brahman, Tapan Mishra, very pious Brahman, he is wondering that, what is the goal of my life? How should I perfect my life? Not many people think like that, but he was thinking, what should I do? And thinking like this, he was taking rest in a dream. he got a dream where a person came, very beautiful person, and he told him, don't worry. This is after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu marries Lakshmi Priya, and then he goes to preach in East Bengal. So as this person appears and he tells him that what you have to do is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is right now present in East Bengal. So don't worry, what is the goal of your life? Just go and meet him. So he gets first-hand information in a dream that I can take counseling from Krishna himself, personally. So immediately rushes in the morning. First thing he does is, he goes and approaches Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is standing with a group of devotees. And because he has a strong desire to understand the goal of life, being completely shameless, he directly approaches Mahaprabhu, catches his feet and puts his feet on his head and starts praying that, please tell me what is the goal of my life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, you are so fortunate that you are wanting to know the goal of life and you want to worship Krishna. And then he tells him about the goal of life, and he tells him, he instructs him and tells him about the holy name. He quotes the verse, Krite Dhyayato Vishnum Treta Nam Yagato Makai Dwapare Paricharyayam Kalau Tad Hari Kirtanad. He says that how the holy name is in Kali Yuga is the only way. And then he says this other shloka, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam Aiva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gathir Anyatha. There is no other way. This is the only way. And after telling him about this, he starts glorifying that the holy name is so powerful that even the Vedas cannot describe the glories of the holy name. Of course, we are trying to make some attempt by simply repeating the words of previous acharyas. But actually, it is so glorious. Who can glorify Krishna? And he starts glorifying and he says that now you go home and you chant. And he says, only by this chanting you will be crowned to the greatest fortune and greatest success. Both of these things will come, good fortune and success, by chanting the holy name. So now he has just met him. He's been told to go back, worship Krishna, and he gives him another instruction. He says, worship Krishna with undeviating faith and attention. And when you do that, while you do that, give up all duplicitous desires. Two more instructions are given to him. What is duplicitous desire? For a devotee, all desires are duplicitous desire. Desires, there was a billboard or a magazine ad where an actress is being questioned, what is your latest desire? What do you want the most? And desire is something, you know, I may desire something which I may feel is very great, and there may be other people who may feel, oh, this is so lousy, you know. It's so relative. And this actress, she said, I desire, and they put a bubble, to have my own iPod. Of course, people who have iPods, many devotees may think this is not a great desire. Such a common thing in our devotee community. We use this in and out to hear Hare Krishna Kirtan. So, for a devotee, all material desires are duplicitous. Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all such material desires in its first canto. Dharma projita kaitabo atra parmo nirmat saranam satam. And nectar of devotion says, anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Give up all duplicitous desire and then worship Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him that chant Hare Krishna without these duplicitous desires and go home and worship Krishna. So by chanting this holy name, you will get proper spiritual practice, you will get your ultimate goal of life. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeated the whole Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He said, this Mahamantra, when you chant, first what will happen? You will feel the first blossoming of Krishna Prem in your heart. And then, gradually you will understand that the truth, or what is the truth of proper spiritual life, and then you will ultimately achieve the goal, the ultimate goal. So you do this, have faith. Very difficult to keep faith and surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just met him. Just see the situation of Tapan Mishra. He had just met, he's got the first counselor as Lord Sri Krishna present, and he has met him right now. And what is the first instruction? Now you go away. Take this holy name and go. But I have met Krishna. I want to stay with Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. As a matter of fact, little later Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends him to Banaras. Not even stay there in Bengal. Totally out. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra, both are sent, dispatched. So, one needs to surrender. Srila Prabhupada, during Srila Prabhupada's time, in one temple, many young ladies were staying, and one instruction came that so many girls should get married. So the temple president came and he said, you, all of you are getting married. I said, what is this? And you go to Hong Kong and you get married to one person who stays over there. And this lady, she went to Hong Kong and she saw, and she said, the first time I saw my would-be husband, I got married to her. Married to him. She was Jagat Tarini Mataji. She was a very famous actress. Fully surrendered to Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And when she was here, she was quoting this pastime. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Tapan Mishra, now you go and worship Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is giving this holy name, and what is he teaching through his pastime? What he's teaching is that he was in Navadvip, and over there also he did the same thing. He was with devotees, he left them, he went away to Jagannath Puri. All of them in ecstasy, in separation. He was teaching through his example. He himself practiced this mode of separation, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was very beautifully explaining on Sunday how Lord Krishna in Brihad Bhagavatamrit is talking with Uddhav and so many other people around over there, mother of Kamsa, Rohini, they are giving different commentaries that this happened, this should have happened. And Uddhava and Krishna are in different mood and they are crying. And Krishna is saying that, you know, now Uddhava, what you are saying is true. They are all in anxiety. So I'll give you one more letter. And Uddhava says, no more letter. They don't want letter, they want you. So it's quite surprising that Lord Krishna doesn't go. But he's sending different articles, some jewelry, some letter, always keeping them in separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing this, practicing, showing to his example, keeping in separation. This chanting of the holy name, one devotee said, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us, this mode of separation. We feel sometimes different type of separation. When we sit for chanting, at least me, separation from how I should finish these rounds and approach the bed. Separation from the soft bed. So, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually come to give. And to attain this, one needs to give up all duplicitous desires. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, how will these duplicious desires go away. And he says, he's very humble, and he actually wrote one more commentary which he drowned in the Ganga. And all he left is the 8 verses of Shikshashtakam. And the first verse tells us that how chanting of the Hare Krishna gives us 7 benedictions. Starting with Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The mirror of the heart is cleansed. That is what happens first thing. How is it cleansed? Maybe immediately, maybe very gradually, depending on how we chant the holy name. Eka Krishna Naam Hoile Sarva Papa Jai. If one holy name chanted properly can destroy all dirt from the heart. And then Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam is when dirt is removed, all miseries are extinguished. When there is no dirt, Krishna swallowed the forest fire and gave pleasure to his devotees. And then Shreya Kairava Chandrika. When all dirt is removed, miseries are extinguished, the lotus of our good fortune starts blossoming. So there is good fortune by chanting of the Hare Krishna. But we go to sleep. We are like this old lady who has a huge bundle of sticks, and she shouts out, "Oh God, please help me, so heavy." And Lord Vishnu appears. "What do you want? How can I help you? What benediction you want? Ask for anything." Say, "Really, you can give some benediction? Then shift this bundle from this shoulder to the other. It's too heavy for me." So here the holy name is giving all benediction. First, it cleanses the mirror of the heart and you see yourself. And second analogy is given of the blossoming lotus. Blossoming lotus means who we are in relationship to Krishna. Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. Just as a traditional housewife follows her husband, similarly, knowledge follows. What is this knowledge? First point of knowledge is that I am not the body. That is the first step. And the final point is, in transcendental knowledge, is what is my relationship with God? And then Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam releases bliss, unlimited bliss, and Pratipadam Purna Amrita Swadhanam. Every step, nectar. So it is said that in desert, this whole material world is like a desert. And we are searching for happiness, trying hard in so many other ways to get some happiness. But we are like this deer, which is explained in the 7th canto itself, who is running, and he does not see, trying to search for water, but there is water which is covered by grass. That water is compared to the soul. Happiness is inside and people are searching outside in the material world. Jalam tad udbhavais channam. Grass grown by that water, covered by that grass. Channam means it's covered. What happens? Hitvango jala kamayam. This deer trying to search for water. Mrigatrishna upadhavet. And being illusioned, running, unable to find water. Just like tatra anyatra anya drik svataha. A human being who is searching for pleasure outside but has pleasure inside him. So the holy name, ultimately sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Because it gives all these 7 benedictions, it is param vijayate. It is always victorious. So this destroys the complete material life of a person, of a devotee, chanting of the holy name. We may feel that I am chanting, am I advancing or am I not advancing? His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj spoke to the brahmacharis one time and he said, what is advancement? He said, we must understand advancement means dedication, faithfulness and humility. That is what Krishna actually sees. You become the best you can be, the best you can do for Krishna. And that is what is going to attract Krishna's heart. Not by many lectures or many books. So, that is what actually Krishna looks in a person. And that is how we come to know how much we are advancing. He also said that the best devotee is the most humble devotee. The best brahmachari is a humble brahmachari. So what exactly is stopping us from advancing? Our own sinful reactions. Subuddhi Roy, another devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was made into a Muslim by being water sprinkled on him. And he was wondering, now what will happen to me? I have become Muslim by this water. So he approached many people, many brahmanas. They gave him different advices. Someone said, you donate a gold cat. Another person said, boil hot ghee and then drink it. Naturally, if you drink hot ghee, you will die. And so he was worried that this advice is not very good. He was searching. Ultimately, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't worry. Just chant Hare Krishna. Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. This is the easiest. And this will purify you completely. This chanting, and when you constantly chant Hare Krishna, by chanting, what will happen? And when your chanting is almost pure, all your sinful reactions will go away. And our sufferings are because of our sinful reactions. And when your chanting is completely pure, you will get the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So we are chanting every day. If we have the proper method or the mood which is required for chanting, and whenever chanting becomes pure, then we become free from all these sinful reactions. And when we are situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, then no sinful reaction can come. That is what was advised to him. So, I was thinking about our book distribution one time, that how we are talking about Krishna being partial over here. We are talking about sinful reaction. One time, I was here in the temple, one new devotee would be visiting. And he was a very enthusiastic young boy. During the marathon, he came and he said, I want to do some book distribution. I have some contacts, and if you come, Prabhuji, then we can sell a lot of Bhagavad Gita's. So I said, okay. We didn't know this boy very well. And he took me to... I said, how many books should I carry? How many people are there? He said, we are going to meet only one person. So how many books should we carry? Said, carry at least 20 Bhagavad Gita's. I said, oh, one person? That's quite amazing. Anyway, took 20 Bhagavad Gita's and went. He took us to a very tall building, very opulent apartment. And then one man opened the door. And then this boy started speaking in a very different way, which our local Mumbai style with this man. And it was a little... I was wondering what is happening. And then there were many phones, around 10 to 12 phones kept in the room. And then they started talking about something about gambling. So this was a mafia person who was into gambling. And we were there at his den talking to him. This boy was working for him some time back, so he knew him and he started speaking to him. Sir, if you take this book, they'll be very nice. Whichever card you open will be the right card if you take the Bhagavad Gita. And I was a little frightened. If the wrong card opens, then I'm finished over here right now. And then he asked, how many should I buy? He said, not more, just 20. And then he just removed all the money, how many, and he just paid for the whole thing. He gave the Bhagavad Gita and I ran at full speed from there. Never to see that man again. And I told this boy, hey, what is this? This is not the way you preach and you distribute books. You have to be careful. You have to speak the truth, not delude people. So, when we are chanting, our chanting is pure, all our sinful reactions will go away. So, after suffering, there is death. And both are very fearful. Time is compared to a snake, Kala Sarpa. I saw one photograph in a magazine. I don't know how far it has been forged or it is real. The photograph shows a snake who has swallowed a frog halfway through. The frog from his waist is in the snake's mouth. And the frog has his tongue out catching a fly. Like this. That is the situation of people today, that we don't know how much the Kala Sarpa has swallowed us. Whether we are swallowed up till our waist, how much time do we have? Has he swallowed us till our necks? We don't know, next moment we are going to be inside. So this is very, very fearful if one actually tries to analyze how time is killing us. So everyone is suffering and dying. Then what hope do we have? The hope is the devotees and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Krishna always protects his devotees and all those who take shelter of him through his holy name. We have seen in Krishna's pastimes, Lord Ram prays Sakradeva Prapannoyam. Anyone who says even once that I am yours, I will give him protection. In the Mahabharata war, Lord Krishna is protecting Arjuna all the time. And at this time, Duryodhan has a very special man. His name is Bhagadatta. This Bhagadatta has a very special mace, gada. This gada is empowered, is being blessed by sages, that anyone who is attacked with this gada, he will die. So Duryodhan, seeing that now Arjuna is becoming a great trouble, he tells Bhagadatta, okay, now is the time to use your gada. So now go and kill Arjun. So he takes his gada and he goes and he's right in front of Arjun. And as we discussed in the beginning, Krishna, being the Paramatma, always knows what is happening. He knows what is in his mind. He's hiding the gada, standing in front. Immediately Krishna pulls the reins and he starts going round and round, full speed. So Bhagadatta is wondering what has happened. And also Arjun is wondering what has happened to Krishna. All of a sudden he is gone in full speed. And I cannot fight because I am going round and round. So he stops. And as Bhagadatta is waiting, as he is about to hit Arjun, for 1 second Arjun is right in front of him. The next moment he's behind. Again he comes and then again he's here, left, then right. So he gets very, very disturbed, becomes very angry. So his anger is growing. Then he starts thinking, he's a Kshatriya. All this is happening because of this charioteer. Krishna. The charioteer is doing all this. So in anger, what he does is, let me kill the charioteer only. And he takes his mace and he hits in front of, he hits Krishna. And Krishna takes the blow right on his head, forehead. But of course, Krishna is God. No powerful, empowered mace can do anything to him. So nothing happens to him. And then Krishna tells Arjun, okay, now you attack. And then Arjun kills his Bhagadatta. So the point made here is that Krishna is always protecting his devotees who have taken his shelter. And for us, only shelter is chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? One question.
You're mentioning that the sinful reactions are the obstacle in our chanting, and that when we chant, then they go away. So, how does that relate with getting the mercy of the Vaishnavas in order for there to be the mercy in your heart? Is the do they your behalf pray to Krishna and then Krishna gives some favor, or is it like a direct result of being in touch with the holy name? Is the holy name clearing the sins, or is the devotees doing that, or how does that work?
Your question is, do the devotees help us become free from sins, or does the holy name do that? Is that the question?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just saying that, like, so many times devotees have been merciful, but still the tendency to commit sinful activities is there. So how does that root of that tendency get removed?
Yeah, ultimately, we understand that devotee's mercy is... What is devotee's mercy? Devotee's mercy is that through the parampara, the guru is giving us the holy name. It is actually, if we just read the Shastra, we understand that to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra needs a lot of qualification. We have no qualification even to chant. So this is mercy, that by the blessings of devotees we are able to chant Hare Krishna and get the holy name. First of all, to come in contact and then chant holy name, that itself is great mercy. And then when you sit to chant with devotees, if one is really humble, ready to accept that mercy, if he's sleeping and devotees wake us up, that, you know, Prabhu, get up. Then if we feel, okay, he is always disturbing me when I am chanting, I have put earplugs so that I cannot hear anybody wake me up. So if someone is waking us up when we are chanting, so that is mercy of devotees. They are very merciful, kindness. So that's my understanding, that getting the holy name and association of devotees. Nobody can do something like, you know, clear off our own. We have to fly our own plane. One devotee said, please save me. Prabhupada said, I cannot save you. I can teach you how to save yourself. So we are in a training program. Sometimes you may fall down, stand up. No problem. So that is devotee's mercy. Okay, bro. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.